Hello, everyone. I am coming to you live. It's a very pretty Wednesday morning here in Nashville, Tennessee. I went outside walking a while ago. I thought it was going to be a lot. I don't know why my thing is so far over. Hang on a second. Let me grab my camera is like way over to the side. Anyway, I went out walking this morning and I had put on Logan's jacket thinking that it was going to be so much colder than it was. And I got to walking around and I was like, oh my gosh, I'm going to sweat to death in this thing. So we are doing Q&A today. And let me get over into the right place. If you guys have a question, all you have to do is use hashtag ask your question. And then somebody from the team, the No BS Fabulous team, they're going to give it to me over here where I can see it and answer your questions. One thing I wanted to talk about this morning, well, first of all, just to let everybody know, we have a couple things exciting that are getting ready to happen, is the January camp. Please don't forget that it's open. I did a Q&A call the other day where I just talked about all things fabulous when it comes to January camp. I highly recommend all of you watch it so that you get an idea of what to expect. We have a bonus coming out. If you sign up by November 15th, you'll be invited to the vision boarding on January 15th, which is a Friday at 5 p.m. Central Time with me, where I'm going to drink some wine and we'll create my own 2021 vision board. Because if you're like me, especially today, you might be ready to just leave 2020 behind in the dust. We're kind of like, I'm just like, you know, 2020, I get it. You wanted to show everyone who's in charge. It's just like, woo! Our brains, I can't think of a time in my lifetime, I'm 46, where we are faced with so much uncertainty all the time. And this is the crazy thing that I want to tell you guys. I actually, like, until we get some questions, I have a couple of things that I can talk about. The first one is your brain hates uncertainty more than anything. Its primal job, the way it come designed out the womb and out of the box for you as a human, is to always be seeking certainty in some way. That's why so many of us eat when we feel threatened, when we feel fear, when we feel worry, confusion and stuff. Because if I can't give myself an intellectual answer, then what happens is I know that if I give myself food, because in the past, if I've given myself food, I can turn off the uncertainty for a little bit. Notice it's just turning it off though. It's not resolving anything. And I think that a couple of points about this for all of you is that when it comes to uncertainty, two ways to really think about it is, number one, I don't have to know the answer to a problem to give myself certainty. So I think about two really important points in my life. Number one, when I first started losing weight, y'all, I did not know if I was going to lose the weight. I didn't know if I was going to get my shit together. I was at it was the second most depressed time of my life. I wasn't certain I'd ever feel better. None of that. But I had to give my brain something to hang on to other than just food. Because it wasn't solving anything. It was never creating certainty. I think about that time and I think about what did I want most. I wanted to feel assured that everything would be okay. And so I just told myself that I didn't have to know what I was doing and I didn't have to know my outcomes anymore. But I was certain that each day that I could work towards doing something just a little bit better. That if I just stayed focused there, that was enough mental relief in the moment to keep me taking steps forward and not get hung up in thinking about how terrible everything was, thinking about how much failure I'd had. So that was important. The second time was when Logan was diagnosed with autism. And I didn't know what was going to happen for his future. And if you can imagine, as a mother, when somebody tells you something is wrong with your child, your brain freaks out completely. It does, like, think about uncertainty at a tornado siren level. And it's not even a tornado siren. It's like, I hear the sirens, and I'm looking out the window, and I see it. It's right there, and it's coming for me. And it was another one of those times where I had to decide, was I going to allow myself only to think about what was wrong, only to think about what I was worried about, only to just indulge in the fear constantly, or was I going to start giving myself something I could hang on to? Where could I find some certainty? I knew that I was going to show up for him. I didn't know how. I knew that I was going to love him. And I knew that Chris and I would work on it. And I would just remind myself of that in every moment when I felt like I needed to know outcomes. The only way I'll feel better is if I think he's going to be fine. And I think that this is important for all of us, especially with everything going on right now. I don't care what your political stuff is. I don't want to know. All I want to do is help you figure out, what am I feeling and what am I thinking? And I want to be certain I can handle it. I don't need to know my outcomes. I don't need to know anything. You know what I need to know? That today I can figure my shit out for me. No matter what happens in this world, no one can tell. I was thinking about this in the shower. No matter what happens in the world, the one thing that I know that no one can take away from you, Corona can't take it away. Elections can't take it away. Nothing can take this away. Nobody can take away your decision every day to take a look at the shit of life and decide, am I going to love myself through it or not? That is always on us. That decision every day to think about, do I love myself through this? In this moment when I'm scared, can I still love myself? And how am I going to do that? What is my next best loving thing? That is a question. Rather than going, what if, what if, what if? I would love for some of you to think about that. I've been going through my own struggle this week with something very personal. I got coached on it this week really hard. It's about my son. And one of the things that she brought up to me was that, for me, one of the circumstances that I have is there are times things are happening. And I sit, and my brain automatically goes to, this is not the child I wanted. And in that moment when I was sharing it with her, I said, I feel so much shame. And I know that's why I'm struggling so hard right now. Because I know that I feel that way. And she looked at me and she said with the sweetest voice, she said, Corinne, you don't need to be ashamed of your facts. The fact is, it's not the one you wanted. And that's okay. And you get to grieve that, and you get to be sad, and you get to be all the things as much as you want. And I will tell you, as much as we all try to eat through grief and eat through sadness and think that we can't tolerate and everything, in that one moment when she told me that it was literally okay for me to think the way I was thinking, and that I could just say, that is my truth. There was so much relief in that moment. And I literally told her, just knowing that, I was able to tell myself, the one thing I know I can do, I know I can feel sadness and grief now. I can't deal with the shame. Like, that part is the hardest part. And so, like, as we're all going through shit, like, just all the collective shit that we're going on, all the uncertainty in the world. And it just feels like about the time that we think that, like, we can count on something, we can't. I think the one thing that we've learned this year is we can count on there being a lot of stuff that we always thought was a truth, which is now not. We all just thought about it that way. When I think about this, I just want a lot of you to step back and think, what am I telling myself? And is it like, am I judging myself for it? Am I trying to resist it? Am I trying to push this part away for some reason? Why not just be like, and that's okay? So I need to, hold on, I got to grab a tissue. I can't believe that I moved them so far away from my desk. And yes, I have crocodile red fake pleather pants on. And they're sliding all over this chair. Like, I don't know if these are work pants. These might be going out pants, but I just, for some reason today, needed to feel better. I was having a really tough, like, I've just had a tough week since Sunday. We had just some incidents. And I was like, I'm getting dressed today. I almost came to this Q&A call looking like ass. And I was like, no. You can put on some sassy pants. I lifted shoulders. I was like, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to do things that I know feel good. I'm not eating and I'm not drinking. Those two I'm not doing. I just refuse. And I, like, for a lot of you, I want, like, take care of yourself the way you need. But if food and wine were the first things that you came up with, I don't care if you want to have the food and the wine and you plan it and be intentional about it and everything. But I want you to notice that when it comes to like feeling better, you feel like this thing is so much worse than something else. I just want you to learn the lesson in my brain still thinks that food and wine is a really good solution. It didn't go to the types of self-care I would normally give myself. Not yet. And so that's the habit I want to start creating. What is it going to take for me to get to where that would be the choice over this? Use it as a learning experience. Okay, we're going to get to me some doing some questions. I'm going to quit crying, hopefully. Mama has got to get her shit together. It's been an emotional week for when something's going on with my child. I have noticed that's where my mental ninja work, every hole in it is completely exposed, which is a good thing. I don't want to run from it. I just want to know it. I'm really struggling. I keep thinking, I don't care. I'm just going to eat this. I'm up 7 pounds since joining. I'm not giving up, but I'm discouraged. All right. So, Natalie, when you have the thought, I keep thinking, I don't care. I'm just going to eat this. One of the things that signals is when you're doing your journaling, a lot of you will do this. You will do a lot of planning in the moments that you care. And so you'll create actions. Like, you'll write, this is what I'm going to do and all this other stuff. But you're not doing any journaling on why do I care so much. So the first thing I would do is spend 2 weeks every day answering this question. The reason why I care so much about saying no in that moment is because it's going to give me all of these things. And here's how it always hurts me. Here's how it doesn't pay off. Here's all the ways, like, in the moment, the best thing it gives me is relief from just a simple sentence in my brain. That's what's happening. Then you need to figure out the next part is, why don't you care in the moment? What is, like, what feeling is happening in that moment? What's going on during your day to where you would say at night, my dreams and my goals don't matter? Most of the time, it's because we're physically or mentally wearing ourselves out all day long, either in our self-talk about us, our self-talk about others, our life, those kinds of things. And then when we get to the point at night when it's time to eat, we don't care is just a signal for I have no more emotional bandwidth. All day long, I've been holding it together and I just can't anymore. And it's not that I can't in that moment. It's because I didn't set myself up to be able to easily say no because of all the ways I talk to myself during the day. So I would suggest, Natalie, if you're done with no BS, first of all, make sure you finished no BS. A lot of you are struggling and you're not getting through no BS. Stop struggling and start pushing play. There's no reason not to. If you've got time to eat at night or whenever you're eating, in those moments you don't care, then the first thing is the currency of eating is listening to 15 minutes of no BS. You can eat whatever you want. Go for it. I would make some of those agreements with yourself. But if you are finished with it, then I would go next for you. I would go to Thought Bootcamp. It's in the bonus courses. It's where we really tackle in shitty thinking that you probably have. Most people who are running and like you're saying, I just don't care. You're not doing enough work on telling yourself on paper in great detail over and over and over again why you care. Let me say this about this. When I know a lot of you know that I do a lot of goal work. I do a lot of goal work. And my goal work isn't, I never take a break from it. Every single day, I write down my goals and I write down things that I'm planning to do that day that support those goals. Whether that's exercise, it can be my food, it can be whatever, but I'm always trying to figure out how I'm building my day around supporting the things that I want most. Even when it comes to you guys and the way that I run the No BS program and stuff, when I like if we have a like January camp is coming up, it is really important to me to get as many of you there as I possibly can because it's going to be off the hook. I know in my gut that people that come to the live events, the virtual events and stuff, different kinds of connections are made because it's not anything. It's not because the content is mind-blowing. Let's just admit it. But it is not so much that as it is you come to an event where you dedicate 3 days to yourself. The magic is in the immersion. That's where the magic happens. It's the I'm taking time, shutting out other things, and digging in. It's just like when y'all know I'm writing a book. I know for me, I can write a little bit at a time, and over time, I can get there and stuff, but I want to get there faster. So I went and spent a week writing, and I did nothing else. Took some walks, but I literally just wrote. I got 50,000 words in. That's like a book. And it was the immersion. Of course, I could write it some other way and do it some other way, but I don't want to do it that way. I want to move the needle. And that's what immersion happens. So take your Thought Bootcamp. Make sure you're writing down every single day, like, here are my goals. Around food, like for a lot of you, don't just write, lose a pound. I know the planner asked that, but don't just write, lose a pound. Also write, like, my goals this week. What is my goals this week about not eating when I say I don't care? How am I going to work on that? Rather than just noticing that I'm doing it, what is the 30 unique ways that I can tackle this problem? What are all the things I could tell myself, remind myself, do sticky notes around? Who could I ask? Like, who can I grab as an accountability partner? That is really thinking about it. That's getting your head wrapped around it. So, like, your goal this week should be to not eat one more time because you use the excuse, I don't care. You might say, I don't care and say, like, all right, I'm going to eat. But I'm at least going to give myself 5 reasons why it fucking matters. And I'm going to eat uncomfortable knowing how much it matters. I'm breaking the habit of that excuse. I'm willing to make it emotionally uncomfortable for myself when I'm eating, rather than just being like, well, I keep noticing that I keep telling myself I don't care. I don't understand why that thought's not just magically leaving me. Thoughts don't magically leave. We work, we examine, we practice, we try things. We go at it like an athlete. Athletes don't be like, I don't know why I can't just catch that ball. I mean, I put on my pads. I'm sitting here. I'm on the football field. I thought about catching the ball today. I even saw the quarterback. I don't know why I can't catch it. They don't sit there and do that. What do they? And they don't like dress rehearse for it. You know what they do? Show up every day and they find some other quarterback who's willing to throw on the ball 500 times and try different things until they learn how to catch the damn ball. I'm binging better. I'm countering the thoughts and sitting with the urge longer, but I'm still giving in. Any tips to actually not act on the urge? It's so much easier in thought than in the moment. I've been hovering around the same weight, and these overeats and binges are hindering the scale from going down. Also, what time will the binge better calls happen in December on Tuesday nights? I don't know. I bet I could go check the calendar. If you don't know, we have this awesome calendar that's on pmptribe.com. If you go, there's a button called training calendars. If you go there, every one of our calls is always on that calendar for you guys. And I just went to it, and Binge Better is going to be at 5 p.m. on Tuesdays, Central Time. So there you go. So I'm countering the thoughts, and I'm sitting with the urge longer, but I'm still giving in. So if you're still giving in, it probably means that you are getting good at recognizing the urge, but there's probably still some arguing with the urge, some resisting of the urge. I actually have a little class, kind of like small. I'm going to put it into the main podcast, but I'm working on this concept around all of this that I want to teach you guys. But my biggest tip for you, Zoe, is I would go to module 2 of No BS. Inside of module 2, there is a feelings lesson where I have you drop down into your feelings. And so I'm walking you through, like, starting at your head, walking through your body, feeling a feeling. An urge is just a feeling. So for a lot of times, if you're noticing you're sitting with it, but you're eventually giving in, you're probably not experiencing the urge. You're experiencing the conversation you're having with yourself of like, just wait, maybe it'll pass. I hope this goes away. There's probably a lot of that going on, but you're not exactly sitting there and going, okay, now I'm officially in urge land. I know what I'm thinking. I know what I want and stuff. But do I know what physical experience I'm going through right now? Am I going to that stage yet? So you can use that guided lesson on that part. A lot of times when it comes to any feelings like sadness, grief, anxiety, depression, anger, urges, anything along those lines, one of the things that I have found that significantly changes for people without ever having to think differently is understanding that a lot of us, what we do is like we have all of our thinking, we have all of our stuff. And at the end of the day, though, the part that hoses us most is we think our feelings are intolerable. We think our feelings are the worst part. And so we have the story around, I don't want to feel this way. This feeling's never going to end. It's just way too much for me. Like all of those thoughts, what they do is they create even more and more and more chemicals, feelings, and anxiety. And if you clean that part up where you're just like, you know what? I don't know, really. I've never really just sat with a feeling and understood physically how it felt in my body to really know, does it ever end? Do I get trapped here? Is it actually too much? Is all this fear that I have around that, is that even true? What is the actual experience like? If you do that several times, what ends up happening is you unlearn the fear around the feelings, the things that we think we need to get out of the most.
It's that extra layer that we put on top of already feeling something uncomfortable. So like sitting with an urge, if you don't have judgment and you're just experiencing the physical sensations, at worst is awkward. But if you're going to sit through an urge and have thoughts where you either argue with it or wish it away or obsess over like, I wonder when this is going away. I'm like sitting here. I don't know. I'm doing the things. Am I even doing it right? Like you take, if you removed all of that, you unlearn a big piece of the puzzle that makes experience and feelings harder. So bottom line, every time you feel something, if you feel an urge, tell yourself, I'm going to listen to that feelings thing so that my brain can start making the connections from unconnecting my story around a feeling and connecting to when I have an urge, it's my mouth watering. It's my heart racing. It's these things going through my body. And once you write that down enough times, you get to start deciding how you want to think about the physical experiences. Rather than right now, what's happening is you have thoughts about the thoughts about the experience. Can you give me some tough love about leaving Facebook groups from my old Beachbody community? I don't know why I care, but I feel like I'll miss something if I leave the groups. Yes, I heard the clean up the newsfeed, but I also get stuck thinking I'm going to miss stuff. I don't know why. I guess it depends on what you're going to miss. Have you just made a list of, here's the easiest way that I would do it, Mandy. And this is simple. Like you're saying, I'm afraid I'm going to miss something. You don't even know what you're going to miss. Write it down. Write down, here's all the things that I'll miss that I do like. Here's all the things that I'll miss that I don't like. And then just look at the lists. Decide, like, okay, maybe I want to be in there, maybe I don't. But you give your brain like some reality to things. Right now, your brain is saying, I'm afraid I'm going to miss something. And you're like, well, what are you going to, like a little bit of Logan coming in here going, hey, I'm like thinking about doing something. I'm afraid I'm going to miss out. And I'd be like, well, what are you going to miss out on? I would just ask him so he could at least tell me. And then we could have a dialogue about if that stuff's even important. I think that's the missing piece. And I'm not going to tell you to just do it. You might have a Beachbody group, like one of our girls inside the group, Kara. One of my sweetest members that I love the most. Like, I just want to hug her all the time. Like, if I could, I would just all the time. She's my baby. We have, y'all have heard me talk about her in the podcast a couple times. I just, all the love. She's a Beachbody coach. You know what she does in her group? Lift them up. Like, I would never tell anybody, don't go to that group. But you got to know, are you in a group that lifts you up or not? And that's only going to, you're only going to decide it by understanding what you're missing out on and what you're not missing out on. I follow my plan great during the week. Weekends, undo it all. My data shows it's Sunday after grandkids go home. I'm lonely and depressed, so I eat. I'm not sure how to stop this pattern. Find out why you're lonely and depressed. What are you telling? Like, this is an easy one. Module 2, no BS. Go through the think, feel, decide cycle. I feel lonely and depressed. That's not because the grandkids go home. Remember, grandkids going home has no feelings attached to it until you have thoughts about it. You need to uncover, what am I thinking? What am I thinking that creates loneliness? What am I thinking that creates, like, what'd you say, depressed? You'll probably find, like, thoughts of like, you know, I have nothing else to do and blah, 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 blah. Like you want to look for that stuff and then like go to bat for like how you want to think in those moments about you and about your life. And like, do I want to think about how they're gone or do I want to think about what an amazing time we had? What an amazing grandmother I am. Like there's 1,000 different things you could be thinking. What would I want to feel if I'm not going to eat? What could I fill my time with? Maybe I want to be a little sad. I love them little boogers. It's okay. I don't have to have a ding-dong in my mouth feel sad because my grandkids are gone. But understand why you're feeling sad. Understand why you're feeling lonely and depressed. And make sure that it's not got self-loathing behind it. Usually, if we're having to eat, like We don't eat because we're sad, because we're like, oh yeah, I really do love my grandkids. And if they could just be here all the time, it would be amazing and stuff. Of course I feel sad. You don't want to eat over that. But if you're feeling like sad because you're like, well, it's going to be another lonely fucking week for me. I ain't got nobody else. They're the only people that, you know, blah, blah, blah. That means that you are self-loathing. You don't have your back. Somebody type in if you're having a sound issue. That's always Facebook. I mean, it's just never us. It's always the Facebook side. The simple fix is log out and come back in. Facebook is just like any other technology platform. It's going to fart and act like a donkey. I feel so motivated and determined to do all the things all day long until I get home in the evening. Then I lose all willpower and struggle just to sit through urges. I plan on doing the no BS modules and walking, but when I get home, the sitting on the couch watching Netflix went out. Any suggestions? I would probably make it to where, there's a really good book called Atomic Habits. And one of the things that I would do, we're actually talking about this in January camp. We're doing a lot of habit work there. But one of the things that you can do is, I think what you're doing is, like, if you're wanting to Netflix and you're wanting to just sit on the couch, thinking I'm going to go for a walk and do all of my self-development is like a gigantic leap through the Grand Canyon. How about starting with, when I get on the way home, I'll listen to 5 minutes. When I walk in the door, I'm going to put in my earbuds and I'm going to listen to 5 minutes while I change my clothes. And then I'm going to watch the Netflix. So it's partly called habit stacking. There's like habit stacking, habit sandwiching. There's 1,000 different people who describe it 1,000 different ways. But right now you have the habit of the Netflix and unwinding. So right now, why not just say, like, I'm going to let myself have the Netflix. But before I have Netflix, here's what I want to do. I want to listen to 5 minutes worth of content. I only need 5 minutes. And then I'm going to relax. I get my Netflix. Part of the urge stuff is probably getting stimulated also from, like, not only are you just in the, your brain gets queued up to eat because you're doing the Netflix, but it's probably based in, I shouldn't be watching Netflix. I should be doing all this other stuff. There's probably self-judgment going on because, like, I'm motivated to do all this and I get home like, wah, wah. And it may be that you're just learning that the evenings are not the time for you. Are you willing to get up 15 minutes earlier every day and just say, like, you know what? I wouldn't worry about the walk-in for right now. I would just be like, am I willing to wake my ass up 15 minutes early and watch 15 minutes, listen to 15 minutes and be done? Nobody's going to lose weight because they're push and play all the damn time. You're going to lose weight because you're making some changes. So if you notice that in the evenings you're wanting to relax and stuff, one other thing, I think it's normal for all of us to want to relax in the evenings. Just make sure that whatever you're telling yourself throughout the day, that you're not driving yourself down to where the only, like, it's just like, I just got to turn everything off. This is the thing. We're not supposed to go 24/7, y'all. If you are if you're slaying at work or whatever, you need time to rest. You know, if you love listen to me, that's one thing. But start smaller. Introduce yourself in a small way to some of this stuff. But this is the way that I do the evenings. I'm not sitting around self-developing. I'm watching the British Baking Show like it's my religion right now. I've watched it so much. We've ordered a mixer, and I have decided I will be making cakes and pastries and breads. Like, I'm like, I told Chris the other day, I said, holy shit, I'm going to do this. I need a hobby, and this is going to be my hobby. I'm fixing to be one of those people that, like, bakes bread. It looks so nurturing. It looks so, like, loving, and it looks so, I don't know, like, I could just get lost in it. So y'all wait. One of these days, we're going to have a live camp. I'm going to surprise everybody. I'm going to walk in. Y'all going to walk in. And it's going to look like the British Baking Show took a dump right in the middle of the lobby because I spent days cooking before to unwind. I'm still struggling with satisfied. How do I find the sweet spot? I know you answer this question frequently, but it's still a struggle. You have to track your physical symptoms. Like the only way, like this is the thing, y'all quit. This is the other thing, Susan. Stop saying you struggle with it. When, like, just everybody think for a second. When you say, I struggle with this, how does that feel? It probably feels tense. It probably feels like hard. And when something feels tense or hard, then what we end up doing is the same shit all the time. We do a lot of worrying. We do a lot of obsessing. We do a lot of confusing ourselves, like a lot of second guessing happens with that. Oh, gosh. So rather than saying I'm struggling with satisfied, just say I'm still looking for it. I'm finding new cues. And so that means that, like, each day, what I want you to do is I want you to think, if I wasn't struggling with finding enough, what would I tell myself? Today, I noticed these things in my body. And this is the thing that I want all of you to really understand. Chris always calls this is my meta talk. I'm like, I don't even know what meta talk is, but here we go. I give you the parameters of am I hungry and have I had enough? But there's no real either one of those. It's a construct of your mind making a decision on is this my enough and is this my hunger? There's no right or wrong answer. The magic isn't in like, I got it. It's this exact feeling. It's this exact thing. And I know a lot of you want that certainty. You want to know, like, all right, because I think you all think, if I really figure these two things out and I know without a doubt, weight loss happens. It's done. That's not how it happens. You're looking for the wrong answers. Weight loss happens because you're paying the fuck attention. That's where weight loss happens. All of weight, everything I teach you guys, I want you to think about everything that I teach you. It's all based on we now pay the fuck attention instead of tuning out. We now pay attention instead of autopilot. We now watch ourselves instead of ignore ourselves. Everything is based in that. So when you guys are asking the question, am I hungry? You've already won if you're willing to ask the question. Because in the process of that, there will be times you won't eat. You're like, I realize I'm not hungry. Or there will be times where you're like, I just know right now is the time I really want to eat. I've just decided, like, this isn't worth it anymore. I don't eat over their opinion anymore. I don't eat over my life anymore. Like, the continual questioning and understanding why you're eating, eventually you get to where you're like, I get what she's doing. I'm going to today not eat over my bad day. It's bad enough. I don't need to compile it. That's where magic happens. The next level of magic too is that you ask the question of, so sometimes you just decide not to because you're like, oh, because I'm not used to asking, I'm figuring it out. Oh, I'm so used to seeing myself eat over bullshit. I'm tired of that part of me. I'm ready to try another part. Let's go. Let's see what it's going to be like. The other part is sometimes you'll be like, I am actually hungry, but I think I could wait like 15 more minutes. It'll be okay. You start getting more and more confident around hunger. You start getting more and more confident around like today was a really good example. I had about 5 minutes before this call. And I could have easily ate a protein bar because my stomach's growling. I've been up for a long time. I've worked out. And I thought, you know what? I can make it to the end of this call. It'll be okay. That comes from every single time of me asking the question and a few times being brave and courageous enough to just see what happens, to create some confidence and certainty in my body. That not every time I'm hungry means I have to eat. That comes over time. And the same thing happens on the satisfied side. It's the magic of the asking of the question. It's the magic of first developing the habit of paying attention. Like noticing, oh, I forgot to ask myself today. Here's how I feel. I think I ate to about this. Like I can tell this is too much. I wonder what I could do tomorrow to just remind myself to check in. I wonder what signals I might have felt that I could look for tomorrow, next meal. It's all about that paying attention part. The paying attention is where all the magic happens. It's not about, this is for sure my satisfied. This is for sure my hunger. Now I get to believe I'm going to lose weight. Now I don't have to believe I struggle. None of you have to believe you're struggling now. We could just drop the narrative around losing weight that it's hard, that it's a struggle, that it's tough. You could decide that what the diet industry has taught you is no longer good enough. Like, I'm just learning. Look at me. I'm figuring shit out every single day. I forgot to ask myself today, am I satisfied? I'm glad I noticed that. Tomorrow, here's my ideas for remembering it. I bet if I keep coming up with ideas, I'll figure that out. That is the kinds of conversations that someone who loses, I want you to think about someone who loses their weight for the rest of their life. You guys act like you can't be confident now. You can't be at ease now. Like, y'all think when you lose weight, it's like, I'm going to be confident. I'm going to be proud. I'm going to feel ease. I'm going to, like, everything's going to be so much simpler. Look, we're not going to wait till we lose weight for all that. Because the only way any of that's going to be had is if you start simplifying your own thinking now. You start making your thinking easier on you now. You start finding your places to feel confident now. You decide how to like feel proud now. That all that requires is creativity on your part. It's not going to require you to buy shit or do anything or wear yourself out or add more time to your day. In fact, I promise all of you, you will feel like you have more time in your day when you start reorganizing your thinking to feel ease, calm, thoughtful, curious, aware, pride, confidence, assuredness. You tackle some of that now, everyone will feel like, you'll be like, Corinne, I feel like you've given me 8 more hours of my day. Because I bet you anything, y'all are spending 8 hours a day in the polar opposite feelings. That's what makes life hard. That's what makes life so intolerable. That's what leaves you depleted at the end of the day with nothing left in the tank to have a conversation with you, with yourself. That's like, I'm just going to feel this feeling. I'm just going to try this recording she talks about. I feel certain I can try this rather than, I don't know if I can sit through another urge. Oh, what's it going to be like? You get to bring whatever energy you want to your weight loss. Bring the right energy. And that will be in your brain. Let me see. We've got to get going. I've got a call starting. Some of these questions, guys, take them to ask coaches. A lot of you have, like, if you want new thoughts to think, stuff like that, take all of that over to ask coaches. Also, a lot of this is stuff that you totally could be posting inside the Facebook group. And you guys are in the Facebook group, so I know that you can do it. So I want you to post it in the Facebook group, like as an independent post, and ask for help from your people. Everybody in here has been through all this stuff. A lot of these questions are for sure stuff that I know that the Nobius women have 400 answers to that are even better than what I would come up with. This probably sounds strange, but what do you do when you really cannot tell if you are still hungry or not? If you really can't tell, here's what I would do. I would set, like, this is where it's like, all right, I just want to figure out a puzzle. So I know I tell you guys not to eat by the clock, but in this case, I'd be like, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to eat by the clock. I'm going to set times. I'm going to set like 3 times today in which I'm going to eat. And I'm going to put this many hours between each one. And then I'm going to wait until that time. And I'm going to really ask myself, am I hungry or am I not? If I don't think I am, I'm willing to wait another 30 minutes and then another 30 minutes to see what happens. There is something we do called, it's called going on the clock. Mary Jo, do you know if we are doing a hunger scale challenge? We used to call it the hunger scale challenge. Even we're going to have to call it the doable hunger method challenge now. We'd love to come up with a better name. But do you know if we're getting ready to do one or not? Because I think that we probably could. Just put it on our team meeting for today about us doing one. That would be good. But Wendy, one of the things that we teach is called on the clock. I bet if you, Mary Jo, post, I bet you we have a quick hit or we have something where I've explained how to do an on the clock challenge. Post a link in here so Wendy can see it. But it's essentially when, like for you, what I would do is a little different is I would say like, I'm going to test my hunger this time, this time, and this time. These are the 3 times I'm saying I'm going to eat today. When it gets time to eat, if I don't have something definitive, I'm going to drink 16 ounces of water and I'm going to wait 15 minutes. And then I'm going to keep waiting 15 minutes until I figure it out. Wendy, for all of you who hear this, your brain is going to want to go to, I can't live like that. I'm not asking you to live that way. I'm asking you for a couple of days to try it to see if you notice anything. A lot of times when I tell you guys to try things, I think a lot of you think, oh my God, am I going to have to do this the rest of my life? And it's like, no, but could you do it for 2 days? Rain our brains in. I have a grab ass issue. Cookies, nuts, 2 bites of ice cream, then feel good since it was just a little help. So this is what I want you to do. I want you to like you may feel good because of a thought you're having, but I want you to tell yourself, like right in the morning, about your opinion. Otherwise, here's how I know you don't feel good about it. You wouldn't be asking me the question to get it out of your life if you really felt good about it. In the moment, you may have a thought that justifies it. There's a difference between feeling good about something and then justifying something. Justifying feels very different. It's permissive. Feeling good about something, I want you to think about the last time you felt really good about something. Like the other day, Chris came up to me and he just like was looking at me like he could have just ate me alive. And I said, what is it? And he said, I don't know. Just sometimes I love you. And I love you so much. I just want to look at you. And I was like, oh my God, are you serious? I was like, that felt good. That is what feeling good is all about. It's about, oh my gosh, that's so wonderful. I want more of it. Like, I would like to see that happening over and over and over again. I don't think you're feeling good about your grab assin. I think you're feeling justified. I think you're feeling relief. I think you're feeling some, like, escape. So get real clear, first of all, how you're feeling and write about that. And then ask yourself, is that really something that I want to keep feeling? Like, if I actually was going to feel really good, what would I be doing? What would I be thinking? And what would that create in my life? I know I have you guys write a lot, but I can promise you how important it is. I write so much about what I want in my life, how I want to be showing up and stuff. What it does on a technical level is our brains are geared to think about what we don't want. I mean, I want you to if you just listen to your brain most of the day, it's filled with what you're afraid will happen, your worries, trying to figure out what somebody's thinking about you, what's not right, what you wish was different. Like, its job is to kind of sit there and poke holes in the theory of your life to keep you safe. And so when it just has that stuff going on, it activates what I talk about in the Handling the Holidays program, the reticular activation system. Everybody has this in their brain. It's your brain's way of tuning in to what, like, ever you think and allow it to continue to think, to tuning in to seeing it in the world. It's like, I need to filter out all, like, if you think weight loss is hard, then your brain automatically thinks, I need to filter out all the easy things. I don't need her to see that part. I need her to only focus on these hard parts. I need her to see. I remember, here's a couple of good examples. When I would start diets back in the day, especially my deprivation diets, if I drove down the street, for some reason I could smell Burger King making a Whopper way more clear when I was dieting than when I was going to get a Whopper. If the hot donut sign was on at Dunkin' Donuts, it's like, hot donuts. If I was eating donuts and stuff and just not giving a shit, not thinking about dieting, I don't know that I'd ever see it. Same thing with commercials. I would watch television and I would just think, is every commercial about food? It's so hard to lose weight. So my brain would tune in to the hard. And what happens is when you're not doing enough writing about, like, how you want to be thinking, what you want for yourself, like what you want to start noticing and observing, what you want to create for you. When you don't do that, then your brain is automatically tuning into this. So we want to get so much going with your goals and how you want to think and things you want to be doing for yourself and how you can make it easy and junk to where your reticular activation system starts tuning and finding the things that make things easier for you rather than orienting everything to be so hard all the time. The other thing that it does, one, it just feels better. You give yourself some relief each day to feel a little better thinking about what you might want for yourself versus only being focused on what's wrong. And I think for me, the other thing that it does is it helps me, like, never forget the goals. It helps me never forget who I want to be. On the days when I'm not so nice to myself, if it wasn't for all the writing about gratitude for myself, what I like about myself, what I'm working toward, all that stuff, if I wasn't doing that, then on the days when I'm just having a bullshit day, it's harder for the bullshit to stick. Like, it's so much easier. Like, I used to have really bad weeks, months. Now I just have bad days. And that's okay. Okay, that's all I got time for today. So if you guys will take whatever questions I didn't get to, please post them in the Facebook group. Your No BS Women, I know they want to help you. I know they do. That's why we're all, like, I want you to really tap into the power of our community. Post about the things you need most help with. There's no shame if it's not going perfectly. Gosh, that's when we're the best. When we're not perfect, your question allows other people to post answers and reassure themselves oh my gosh, I used to be that way, and now I actually can help. Look how much I've learned. And you never know when your question is the courage moment that somebody else just doesn't have yet. And they, I can't tell you, 80% of our Facebook members do not post. They read. They learn from you guys. So for all of you who have the courage to put it out there and ask the questions, always thank yourself, because you never know when your moment of bravery is somebody else's magic moment. It's somebody else's moment that they weren't going to be able to create for themselves without you. All right. You guys have a good day. I will see you guys Saturday morning. Bye, y'all.